From the Art Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy at Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning. We've got a really special little program coming up to Speakeasy this morning, something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and that is talk Rocco into letting me interview him about his life and career as both radio host, guy who was in television, radio, school teacher, high school principal, and so on. Good morning, Rocco.
Good morning, Claudio. Great to see you this
Likewise.
Morning.
Likewise. I had one of the best Saturday mornings I've had in a long time by dropping in on Rocco's Music Hall on Saturday, which is every Saturday from 9 to noon. And, of course, the music he plays is some of my absolute favorite. It was a great time just hanging out here in the ambiance of all that. And you got one call after another, people just telling you how much they loved your show.
Claudio, it's always a lot of fun to do the Music Hall show. And I was so glad you and Will were able to come by.
We busted in on him.
and crash the show. But I hope you had a good time.
And Will's actually here this morning lending in the ear. And, of course, you're invited to jump into the conversation anytime you like. Before I go to the legend at hand here, I want to open up with a little monologue. I'm afraid we're not answering the phone. I notice somebody's ringing us. Please forgive that. Here are some facts to ponder. George Orwell's 1984 has actually been an active government spying on the citizenry agenda since the 1920s, and it has never abated those Third Reich tactics. Beware of cutthroat bureaucracies posing as democracies in the land of the free. The baffling descriptive home of the brave must be a reference to the only true American, the American Indian. Time to stop getting in the gutter with corporate banks. America, thanks to the very biased and limited imagination and avarice of our recklessly rich, a majority of 1%, has become the fox guarding the henhouse. All I can say, therefore, is we chickens had better get our act together or die without one, because foxes eat chickens, and our political and religious systems are not self-correcting. In the stagnant land of couch potato societies ruled by fat cat socialism and corporate fascism, the slumber of innocence is more vapor than hope. If we the people are not willing to overthrow and conquer the corruptions of the obscenely rich, then we do not deserve to keep the freedoms they are robbing us of as ruthlessly as their financial powers purchase governmental influences. The Third Reich was established by the wealthiest citizens of that era, and their plan was domination and world control through Adolf Hitler. Freedom is not free, but will always cost us all an undying vigilance and unyielding protectiveness of all we value most in freedom's name. Nothing comes from nothing. Hey, but it's free! World control is ever strengthened by limiting our freedom as a people, and governments depending on public inactivity in response to their ongoing and abusive corruptions. Freedom must be earned daily, and doing nothing will be our collective downfall. The Bush agenda, still not vanquished, is the iceberg, and America is the Titanic in the eyes of the world. If we are not willing to fight for our freedoms, we absolutely deserve what we get. So let's stop crying in our milk and kick some political asses. To the young, I would urge that you do not take your freedom for granted, as many of your elders have died to earn it for you. All right, mates, that's the liquor from the well at the Speakeasy. I'm getting off my soapbox now. And I'm shooting over to Rocco to explore a very unique career, very unique life.
Claudio, as we were speaking earlier, radio is something that affected all of us greatly back in the 40s, 50s, and of course earlier.
I was never without my transistor radio in my pocket as a kid.
And radio affected me dramatically. When I was young, in the 1940s, I can remember radio from, say, 1945 on. And I grew up in northeast New Jersey, and metropolitan New York radio was so influential, and it was so good. And there were a handful of stations that were among the best stations in the country, certainly the network stations like WNBC and ABC and WCBS.
And not only were the radio shows of that day good on the musical end, but there was also a lot of drama, theater, and storytelling.
Exactly. There were shows on that were serial talk shows, like The Shadow and
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles. The list goes on and on. Fibber McGee and Molly. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
People really had to have that creative thing going back in that day, much more so than anything now.
Well, I'm old enough to have remembered when there was no television, really, for most of the people. I think television was invented in the late 1930s, but really it didn't hit the general public until the early 50s and mid-50s
and
in
this country. I grew up in South Africa and had no television until I came to the States.
And when was that?
I came here in 1969.
In '69.
So prior to 69, Africa had no television to speak of.
Well, at one time, radio ruled. And I grew up listening to the radio all the time. It was always on in the house during the day. And there were some stations like WNEW New York. And these were AM stations,
right.
WOR New York, that were very powerful. And when I say powerful, they had millions of listeners every day, 24 hours a day, but for most of the day and evening and late hours of the evening night.
So obviously these became your influences as a young man.
And as a young boy.
As a young boy,
as
right.
As a young boy, those first 10 years of my life, I was born in 1943. So from 1943 to 1953, 52, radio was just a part of my life. And I heard all of the most popular artists of the day, and it influenced me. And
no doubt.
The productions of the shows, it had an influence on me, never knowing that I was eventually going to be getting into radio and then later television as work.
Right. So let me take a step on that path. You actually went into teaching first, didn't you? Or was that something
that came later.
Oh, radio came first, because I know you've gone from school teacher to high school principal.
Radio was a source of income for me when I was working my way through school.
I got you.
Along with other jobs.
Okay.
I had many, many different jobs when I was young.
And on radio, you went from DJ to news broadcaster to announcer of commercials, radio show host, and then you also did some television work as engineer and also for
network feeds. I worked in production.
Feeds. Production,
yeah,
I can relate to that.
In television. I was never on the air in television. But to give you an idea, like I was reading this little list to Will earlier and yourself, the stations that I worked at before I got out of the business, so to speak, it was WWWS-TV, WECC, WOOW, WECU, WRFK, WITN-TV, WNCT-TV, KURE, WNNJ, WIXL-FM, and then here, WCOM.
Does it always have to be a W? What's with the W's?
Well, the W and the K works in the manner of all of the stations. The FCC basically made a law about it where all of the stations east of the Mississippi River were started with the letter W.
Interesting. And on the other side?
West side of the Mississippi, they were K. Except for KDKA, which was the first commercial radio station in this country.
Wow.
In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in 1921 or 1922. So radio goes back to the early 20s. But the big city markets wound up dominating AM radio, especially New York and Chicago and Los Angeles, where most of the people were living around the big cities at that time.
And when you first stepped into radio yourself, what direction did you go in? What did you feel like doing? Being a DJ, or what was your inspiration?
It started, actually, from working at a television station first and then went into radio as a disc jockey, a DJ, an announcer. But at all of these stations, you wind up wearing many hats, and you wind up doing a little bit of this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And I first got into it in 1961. So that was, 54 years ago. And radio was different then than what it is now. If you were on the radio, you had to sound good.
You had to be a personality.
You had to be able to read copy well. You had to be able to put together the show and just make it work.
Yeah.
And anything you did that was negative to that would wind up costing the station money, simply because commercial radio is its number one aim is to survive and make money and make
right.
a profit.
And this was well before shows were pre-programmed.
That's right. Everything was live. There really was no net, although of course, the technology was there, and many shows were recorded on tape by 1960, 61, but it was reel-to-reel tape. There were no CDs. I remember when we had carts, which were basically 8-track recordings on a little tape that you'd put in a machine to play a commercial or a PSA, a public service announcement. We had records, 33 and a third records, 45 RPM records for commercials and for public service announcements. And we used turntables that were very, very well constructed. The turntables we have here in this studio are completely different than these professional quality turntables that were used in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And they really were unique machines. You could start them and stop them with your foot if you wanted to or if you had to. So it was a different technology, and radio, I think, was better then than it is now.
I think it's become such a less imaginative venue anymore for some odd reason, where really in the beginning it depended on your imagination. Now it's the imagination seems to have gone corporate.
I think the best radio station I ever heard ever was WNEW in New York. And that station was so good that it just had the chemistry that made it work. If you go online now and type in WNEW AM, their homepage is the world's greatest radio station.
So they're still around. That's great.
Well, they're not on the air now.
Okay, gotcha.
But they have a homepage, and there are many, many people that really love that station in the New York metropolitan area.
Now, during your time on radio, when you were spinning these albums, they weren't CDs back then, you also had occasion to meet some pretty profound souls. That's where I want to go here.
I cannot tell you how many people in radio and working at television stations and later moving into another genre of helping to put on a show, doing the sound and the lights and the production of the show. You've been the stage manager at the Carolina Theater, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot of preparation before you see a live show.
Oh, yes.
And
the effort to be effortless.
And I wound up working for this fellow named Rudolph Alexander. And Rudy Alexander worked at East Carolina University. It was East Carolina College back then. And I became one of his workers that helped produce the shows for the audiences, and I was getting paid. And wound up meeting countless people, just
no doubt,
so many stars. And also before that, as a kid growing up in the 40s, I cannot tell you how many famous people that became superstars I met by going to the matinee shows in the late 40s and early 50s with my mother, who would take me, and she would go see the movie, see the stage show after the movie, and then we would come home.
Hmm.
And it was very inexpensive, probably maybe $1 or $1.50 for the adult and 50 cents for a child. And I was or 8 or 9 or 10 years old being taken to these shows.
The currency value was a whole lot different back in that day, so for that day it was actually quite a bit of money.
It was, but the talent that was out there was incredible in northern New Jersey. There were two theaters. One was called the Branford Theater in Newark, New Jersey. Another one was called the Adams Theater. And they were really movie palaces.
Hmm.
They held 2,500, 2,800, 3,000 people.
Wow.
And they were very ornate in their decorations, and they were terrific movie places to go see the movies.
Cinema paradisos unto themselves.
But they had entertainment during the week and even on the weekends.
Which is
sometimes
how the Carolina Theater is laid out, theaters as well as
exactly
stage.
And for the most part, these top-rated acts and stars were performing in New York, and when they would leave New York, they maybe would stop in Newark for the day, do the show, spend the night, and then move on the tour wherever they were going.
Well, cue us into somebody of song that you met, and then let's hear a little tune.
All right. This first tune I'm going to play is a band that I saw in person back in maybe 1948 or 47 or 49. I can't remember it.
I don't blame you.
And then I'm going to follow it up by another band that I remember. It was maybe 1952.
Great.
And these were two bands that were so popular in the 30s and the 40s and even the early 50s. And I'm talking about Artie Shaw and his big band and Tommy Dorsey and his big band.
Fantastic.
I never got a chance to meet these people, but I was not very far from them on the stage when they were up there performing. And these are two of their biggest hits. First, Artie Shaw, and then Tommy Dorsey. And, well, tell me what you think of this
and
music.
And both these bands became so famous that they made movies about them.
They were at the top of the list, along with Glenn Miller
right.
and Benny Goodman. But here's an example of things I was listening to as a kid on the radio, along with some other things I'm going to play shortly.
Sounds great. Thank you.
We're glad you found us. We're WCOM Community Radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill and listeners online at WCOMFM.org. Now here's Claudio.
And we thank you all for joining us. I want to plug my sponsors, the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham. They've always got amazing things going on, so check them out, as well as the Apex Arts Council. And it's back to Rocco's Life and Music.
Claudio, how did you like those two instruments?
Man, you know I love them.
Artie Shaw himself didn't perform here, but about 15 years ago, the new Artie Shaw band performed right here at the Carrboro Arts Center.
Wow.
And had a terrific show. Artie Shaw was still alive. He was maybe 90 years old, and it might not have been 15 years
ago. Was he even still active or just retired?
Well, he was retired, living in California, but gotcha. He had a band out there, and the fellow who ran the band was in the old Buddy Morrow band. Buddy Morrow had a big hit called Night Train in the 50s. And he was in that band, and he was leading this new Artie Shaw band. And they were terrific. I mean, here I am today listening to someone as good as that band playing Begin the Begin, and they played the arrangements flawlessly.
And you're certainly a good measuring stick for that, having seen both sides.
It was just terrific. And everyone there was just standing on their feet applauding them to hear the new Artie Shaw band. And I don't know if they're still out there. Artie Shaw died about 5 years ago. And I think he died at age 94, 95.
That's a good long life.
And that song, Begin the Begin, has its own unique flavor.
Tell me about the Begin. I've always been a little confused about the U-I-N-E in Begin.
A lot of times you'd hear people say it's Begin the Begin, but mm-hmm. It's the Begin, which is a South American or Brazilian dance. The Begin is a dance.
Sense.
And Artie Shaw picked up on it and recorded it. But before he ever had a big hit with it, I believe Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, or Fred Astaire and Helen Powell, or Eleanor Powell, had a terrific dance routine to it. And it was called the Begin Dance from some movie from 1938 or 39. And you can go on YouTube and see that, and it is incredible tap dancing.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, you're not going to see any tap dancing better than these two people together doing the tap dance to Begin the Begin.
It fascinates me as to how other cultural influences come to us, either through movies or through some famous dancer in this country deciding they want to do it. But it's amazing the cross-pollination of that.
And then, of course, Tommy Dorsey with Boogie Woogie was such a popular band. Just among the two or three most popular bands in the country.
No doubt.
They probably fluctuated from Glenn Miller at one time to Tommy Dorsey or Benny Goodman earlier. They just were known all over.
They were also very, very famous with the military of the day.
They
would go over there for relief performances.
Glenn Miller and his Army Air Force band had so many future stars in it. People like Henry Mancini, Billy May, who played the trumpet, and wound up being an arranger for countless stars in the 50s and 60s, were in that band of Glenn Miller during World War II. And I was able to see the new Glenn Miller band after World War II. I think Ray McKinley, the drummer for the World War II Army Air Force band, took over the band. And then later, I think a fellow named Jerry Gray took it over. Jerry Gray in himself is another story.
I'm sure.
Jerry Gray, his real name was Jerry Graziano, but he was the arranger for Artie Shaw, I believe, on Begin the Begin, and also went to Glenn Miller's band after he left Artie Shaw. And all of Glenn Miller's hits, like In the Mood and Moonlight Serenade, it's all Jerry Gray. He was the arranger for the Miller band. All of these bands have stories and histories to them.
So cue us into some more of these legends that you've met.
One other thing about Tommy Dorsey. Tommy Dorsey took away Frank Sinatra from Harry James's big band. Gave Frank Sinatra his first big break and put him in his band. Now, I was able to see Harry James's band also in the early 50s.
And how would you say Tommy Dorsey made that bigger?
Tommy Dorsey had a more popular band than Harry James.
Okay. They were more swing, whereas Harry James was more sleepy time.
Well, I'll have to play some Harry James another time. I don't have anything with him. Harry James's band was just not as... Harry James started out with Benny Goodman and was a trumpet player with Benny Goodman when he became very good, very popular, and went out on his own later than Tommy Dorsey. Tommy Dorsey was very established by the time Harry James took his band out and started one. So Sinatra started his big band contracts with Harry James and then went to Tommy Dorsey. Harry James, I guess, released him out of his contract. And Tommy Dorsey made Frank Sinatra very, very popular.
I can certainly see where the teacher element comes in here with Rocco, because I'm learning a heck of a lot about music right now.
And also, Tommy Dorsey gave Elvis Presley his big break, a bigger break than Ed Sullivan did, because in the, I'm going to say 1955, 56, Tommy Dorsey and his brother Jimmy Dorsey had a television show called the Summer Dorsey Hour, something like that. I can't remember the name of it, but... he would have musicians and singers on, and he introduced Elvis Presley. The first time Elvis Presley ever went on national television was on the Tommy Dorsey Show, one of those summers. In fact, I have some recordings of Elvis Presley singing Heartbreak Hotel with Tommy Dorsey backing him up.
Wow.
So here you have a fellow who introduced Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley to America, so to speak. And
amazing. I just want to mention to the folks listening that this is going to be an ongoing type interview. I don't think we'll be able to put it all in on one show, maybe not even three. So we're just going to, over time, continue this interview about Rocco's life and his music. Take us to some music, Rocco.
I have a piece of music. I'm going to play two or three vocalists that influenced me as a radio DJ, a radio announcer, working at different stations, because I was hearing this kind of music again in the 1940s when I was a kid growing up. Now, these two fellas are pretty popular.
And in many cases, you actually saw it live.
Exactly. Let's listen.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar? And be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar? And be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar? And be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. Kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys aren't in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few,
so you see it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
You're You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you? For that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile. Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real? Mona Lisa, are just a cold, lonely, lovely work of art? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real? Mona Lisa, are just a cold, lonely, lovely work of art? Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, right here on WCOM, live and local, right here in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Here's Claudio.
Good stuff. I just want to reflect back on Bing Crosby. I can see how he was a strong influence to Dean Martin, who pretty much shaped his voice listening to him.
Well, at one time, Bing Crosby was America's most popular male vocalist.
No doubt in my mind about it.
And to some accounts, Bing Crosby has sold more recordings than anyone ever.
I completely believe that. And in 1977, I had a chance to become friends with Bill... my mind just slipped. Bing Crosby's sidekick, and that was Phil Harris.
Phil Harris.
I ended up spending 2 weeks on a yacht with him as chef for him and Alice Faye, and we became very close during that
trip. What type of fellow was Phil Harris?
He loved his drinking, but he actually kicked me out of the kitchen one morning to cook breakfast himself for everybody. So he cooked for captain and crew.
Well, you know, he had a hit record back in
the thing,
and yes. I can remember playing that in the early 60s as a disc jockey at some of these stations. It was a novelty hit.
And I'm actually writing a piece called The Night I Got Drunk with Phil Harris and Danced with Alice Faye, because I actually did it while Phil was in the background trying to recite Mac the Knife while Louis was performing it from one of my albums.
Well,
I was dancing with Alice.
Bing Crosby and Nat King Cole were two of the premier singers, along with Frank Sinatra. I don't have any Frank Sinatra with me this morning. That's why I'm not playing anything by Frank Sinatra. But they were the most popular artists of the day, male vocalists, along with these big bands and female artists like Ella Fitzgerald and Peggy Lee and Rosie Clooney. And I was influenced by hearing these people on the radio all the time.
No doubt.
Once in a while, you would hear something that was country and western. And back in the 40s, you never really heard the term country.
Right.
It was country and western music. And there were some very, very
really
popular,
had more of a western influence.
It really did. And many Hollywood productions had country music, country and western music, and some of these artists like Gene Autry and the Sons of the Pioneers and Tex Ritter, they were popular and very good. I have another couple of songs here that were very popular and influenced me because it was my first time hearing anything that wasn't just that middle-of-the-road mainstream music of the day.
Just to let you folks know, these are the early years with Rocco, and as these interviews go on from show to show, it'll become more and more current.
See them tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed. Cares of the past are behind, nowhere to go but I'll find just where the trail will wind, drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed. I know when night has gone that a new world's born at dawn.
That yearns to wander and next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward wind. In a lonely shack by a railroad track, I spent my younger days, and I guess the sound of the outward bound made me a slave to my wandering ways. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander. And I was born the next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward wind. Oh, I met a girl in a border town, I vowed we'd never part. Though I tried my best to settle down, she's now alone with a broken heart. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander. And I was born the next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward.
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
And today's show is all about Rocco, your host on Saturday's Music Hall, so don't forget to catch that from 9 till noon every Saturday since the inception of WCOM, I believe.
Well, Claudio, the last three pieces of music that we played influenced me as a young person listening to the radio and watching television. I just threw in that Paladin theme song from a television show because back in the 50s there were many, many TV cowboy shows, and they all had theme songs. Some of them were terrific.
Yes, I agree.
The Virginian, and there's just so many.
I saw them later, but yes, I agree.
And but before the Paladin song, and that was Have Gun, Will Travel, a television show, I played Tumbling Tumbleweeds by the Sons of the Pioneers, and Roy Rogers was in the Sons of the Pioneers at one time as a singer.
Was his voice mixed in with that? You know,
it may have been. Maybe, this was recorded in the late 1940s.
Gotcha.
And the Sons of the Pioneers traveled around the country. And if you heard what you would call country and Western music in the Northeast on the New York or Philadelphia stations, you'd hear something like that. And, of course, the bluegrass music was another genre that you very rarely ever heard. But it was out there,
of course. Yeah.
And if you lived in Memphis, Tennessee, or Nashville, or Raleigh, you were hearing bluegrass music, people like Bill Monroe and Flatten Scruggs. And this next piece of music I have is by Flatten Scruggs.
I would have to say that bluegrass, I think, it really has become more in the spotlight today than it ever was.
It's more popular now, I think, than ever.
I think it's exceeding country and Western, so to speak.
Well, country music has morphed into something different.
Yeah, very much so.
But this Tex Ritter singing The Wayward Wind, what did you think of that?
I love it. That guy's pure bass, isn't he?
Oh, he was a great singer.
No doubt.
And Tex Ritter was a movie star, was a cowboy movie star in the 30s and 40s. And as a kid growing up, I'd go to the serial movies that were being played in the early 50s, and Tex Ritter was a star.
So what are we coming up with now?
I have now something by Flat and Scruggs.
Just to let you folks know, the show is being brought to you by the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council.
Flat and Scruggs were the bluegrass group that made bluegrass, I believe, go national. And they were from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to meet both of them, work the show through Rudy Alexander. They came to the eastern part of the state, and I did the sound and ran a couple spotlights for that show.
All right.
And this was in 1963. Yeah, I believe it was 63, not 62 and not 64. And Flat and Scruggs were breaking out nationally. And the show they put on in the eastern part of the state, this state, North Carolina, was a warm-up preview show for the Carnegie Hall concert that they did a few months later.
Huh.
And I have this right here for us.
I stand on the corner with a low-down blues, a great big hole in the bottom of my shoe.
Let me be your song dog. Let me be your song dog, or I won't be your man at all. Let me be your song dog.
Now look here, Sal, I know you run down Stockton and I woo out you.
Let me be your solid dog. Let me be your solid dog, or I won't be your man at all. Let me be your solid dog.
I would set no log, finger on trigger, now the hog.
Let me be your solid dog. Let me be your solid dog, or I won't be your man at all. Let me be your solid dog.
Trigger and the gun said go, shot fell over in Mexico.
Let me be your solid dog. Let me be your solid dog, or I won't be your man at all. Let me be your solid dog.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP-FM.
Chapel Hill Carborough Community Radio. This is WCOM. Now back to Claudio.
And I think we're going to give you one more tune by Louis Armstrong, also somebody Rocco met, and we are going to make this an ongoing series of Rocco's early days.
Claudio, that recording was from Carnegie Hall, and
Scruggs we just listened to.
Yeah, the Flat and Scruggs Carnegie Hall concert,
fantastic,
which was in 63, was later made into a record album, and then, of course, it's on CD now. And it really put them over the top. They became nationally known. They did the Ballad of Jed Clampett, which was the theme song of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Right.
And they became household names after that concert.
Worldwide, not just
worldwide,
here.
Yeah. Really. And I got a chance to meet them in 62 or 63. But the reason why I selected that one was to give maybe our listeners a taste of the bluegrass, the country and western, the TV western, And, of course, the early modern vocalists like Nat Cole, Bing Crosby, and the big bands like Tommy Dorsey and Artie Shaw, it all influenced what I wound up wanting to play on the radio
and
in the 60s when I was working.
And it influenced the musical genre overall.
Absolutely. This last artist is Louis Armstrong, who is just legendary. I was fortunate enough to meet him in 1963 or 4. I think it was 64. Again, he performed in the eastern part of the state, and I did the lights for the show and the sound, along with a couple other people with the sound. And he had a live performance that was unsurpassed if you were to see him in person in the early 60s.
No doubt.
Only one Louis Armstrong, and I feel very fortunate that I was able to meet him. And he was just a gentleman. He wanted to buy a little something for all of us before the show, something to eat, not a meal, but he had people go out and buy hamburgers or whatever to bring it to all of the stage people that helped him put on that show.
Cool cat.
And he really was just a gentle person and a nice individual. Here's Louis Armstrong.
The magic spell you cast, this is Love and Rose. When you kiss me, heaven sighs, and though I close my eyes, I see Love and Rose. When you press me to your heart, and in a world apart, a world where roses bloom. And when you speak, angels sing from above. Everyday words seems to turn into love song. Give your heart and soul to me, and life will always bleed. Love and Rose.
Satchmo. Listen, thank you folks for listening. The speakeasy's wrapping it up, but this is going to be an ongoing interview with Rocco and his experiences with legends in music.
Thank you so much for having me as your guest, Claudio.
And thank you, folks, for tuning in. I'm going to quote Woody Guthrie on the way out here. Thanks for joining us. Take it easy, but take it. Cheers.